John chapter 1 again. And last week we kind of spent a lot of our time, majority of our time, on the first, no, 9 to 14 verses or so of the book of John in chapter 1. And today we're going to focus on another portion here in John chapter 1. I told you before, we go through and study out a message, and suddenly several other messages come to light and pop into my mind, if you will. And so this is where kind of I was led today. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able. And we're going to read here verses 15 through 28. I'll read the odd verses by myself, and you can join me on the even verses as we go through here. In John chapter 1, and beginning in verse 15, it says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou then that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Then they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Isaiah, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Betharba, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Well, last week we had an opportunity to look at the first part of chapter 1 here, and of course, how could we forget the exaltation of Christ? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You know, that kind of goes along with what John said over here. When the Pharisees questioned him, he said to them, you know, they said to him, you know, who are you and what do you have to say for yourself and all these things? And he told him, part of his answer was that there was one coming, but he was already among them and they didn't know him. He was already there. You understand in our secular world, and even our, if you want to call it, religious world, if you will, I had the privilege of living in Italy when I was in the military for 3 years. And I got to go to some pretty interesting places. And one of those was the art gallery that is in Florence, Italy. It's pretty amazing, okay? Now, some of it was not appropriate to look upon. You can quite imagine if you've ever witnessed anything about those types of paintings and such. For instance, although it was magnificent, I wouldn't recommend you going and staring at Michelangelo's sculpture of David, etc. Okay, so there you go. But there was a painting in one of the galleries of the Mother Mary, right? and her little glowing shroud above her head. You know, it's very, very Catholic in some of its things. But then there was a picture of her holding the child, you know, Jesus Christ. And there's a picture of a man with also having a glowing halo about his head. And it was a picture of this grown man and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and little baby Jesus. And the title of the caption of the painting and the story of the painting was that it was a painting of their introduction to John the Baptist. And I'm thinking, this is a little bit off. That's not exactly how it went down. Since Jesus and John were only about 6 months apart. And you can find that in the scripture very easily. Okay, so it was just quite interesting, but such and so forth. So John, of course, knew, because cousin Jesus was who he was talking about. When Mary came to visit Elizabeth, we know that John leapt as a baby. He jumped inside a mom. And because he knew that the very Messiah was next to him. And of course, since they were kin, they kind of probably grew up a little bit together. So this is not strange to John. So John very clearly could indeed say to the Pharisees, he said, hey, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. You see, this is no mystery, because I'm going to guarantee you that John also knew the scriptures. He did. His father, remember who his father was? Zacharias? What was his profession? A priest? So, you're going to tell me that in 30 years of existence, Zacharias never shared with his son John about the scriptures and about the Messiah? Hey, do you think that Zacharias and Elizabeth knew what was going on? Oh, yes. I mean, Mary, I'm sure, confided in Elizabeth all that God had done in her life. And she, in turn, more than likely shared it with her husband, the priest, and he probably consulted the scriptures and kind of figured all this out, don't you think? I think so too. So we see all this happening, and certainly I just wanted to tie this idea from last week about Christ being the life and light of men, but the light that shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And certainly as John was speaking and answering these questions from these inquisitors, he said, hey, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. You see, as we look today, in these later verses here in chapter 1, I want to focus on what are we going to do with this light and life of men. You see, I very quickly was able to explain to you the relationship that John had with Jesus. And I'm going to suppose that sitting before me today are people that have some sort of relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't know where. I don't know when. I don't know how. But maybe you've had an encounter with the Lord. Maybe there's been a time where you came to the understanding that you were a sinner that was lost and undone, that needed salvation, and someone introduced Jesus to you. The Savior of the world. The Lamb of God. Your Savior. Have you accepted Him today? Are you born again? If you died today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? What is your relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you kin? Huh? joint heirs with Christ? Savior? Or do you just know of him? You see, the Pharisees, they also were studious people. Do you think they knew what to look for? You think they knew what questions to ask? Yes. Look at our text. They came to John and they said, "Hey, who are you?" You know what? I think they want to know if he was the Messiah. Who are you? What do you have to say for yourself? Who are you? And John confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." Well, then are you Elias? Nope. Are you Elijah? Nope. Well, who are you then? What would we answer to them that sent us? And what sayest thou of thyself? He said, "I'm just a voice. Just a voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." You understand that we're just a voice. We're not the Christ. We're not a prophet. We're not Elijah or Elisha or Isaiah. We're not any of those people. We're just a voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." What are you going to do with this light and life of men that shine in darkness and the darkness comprehended it or not? Can I tell you something today? Listen, Jesus is here amongst the people and they don't know him. Just like the Pharisees. You say, "But Pastor, you told us last week that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father." And yes, but the other comforter is here, bearing witness of Jesus Christ to those that are lost through the voice. You see, John was sent as the forerunner. You've heard that before. He was the one to go before, making straight the way of the Lord, calling for repentance, for people to change. He wasn't doing it to draw them unto himself, but rather unto Jesus Christ. If you read through John the Baptist's ministry and go through how he did things, listen, he fulfilled his purpose and he stepped back. He stepped aside. And he took all those that were following after him, and he took them and he said, "Hey, go follow Jesus. He's the one that I've been talking about. Now you need to kind of transition right over into his ministry and his work." And he stepped back. You understand that we are not the focal point of this life that we live. He is the focal point of our life. You see, we need to be a great servant of God. You know what a great servant does? A great servant exalts the master. It is, it's true. A great servant exalts the master. Isn't that what a servant is supposed to do? You say, "Nah, a servant is supposed to get all he can all he gets, sit on the can and spoil the rest." He's supposed to get ahead. He's trying to get promoted. He's trying to become the greatest in his master's house so that one day he can be the master. Right? Isn't that what people think today? Right? They start out at the lowest part of a company, and one day their aspiration is to be the owner of the company. Isn't that what they're trying to do? Trying to move up in this world? Climb the ladder? You know how Christians climb the ladder? They exalt him more and more. That we become less and less. See, that's opposite. Yeah. That's opposite. That's how it's supposed to be. What happened to John the Baptist? Man, he burst on the scene. Locusts, honey,
Camel hair pajamas? That's what he was wearing. I mean, come on. Wouldn't you like to have camel hair pajamas? Just make sure they were washed. No? Okay. Come on. Go home today. Little locust and wild honey. You know, locusts are pretty meaty bugs. They're pretty good. Lots of fiber, protein, squishy stuff inside. No? Okay. But he came out there. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Repent! He was baptizing people. Drew such a scene. The Pharisees came out to meet him. They had some questions for this fella. But you know what? What were all his answers? No, I'm not him. He's already here. You just don't know him. He's about 6 months younger than I am. But even though I'm older, he was before me. He's preferred before me. He has his place and I have my place. And as I decrease, he's supposed to increase. Because I'm going to get out of the way. I'm just the one that's supposed to proclaim. I'm just the one that's a forerunner. I'm just supposed to tell people. A great servant always exalts the one, the master, that is preferred before. You understand? That we need to be the proclaimer of the light and life of men. They don't know him. Oh, they've heard the name Jesus. They've heard the word Bible. They know what church is. They say, oh, you're one of those Christians. But do they really know? Do they really know? Have they been introduced? Because guess what? They're blind. They're in darkness. They do not and cannot comprehend the light. We need to help them. You know, one of the things that I loved as being a teacher is to be able to, even though kids could mimic or repeat what I said, to really help them comprehend what I was talking about. You know what we call that in the common term? Watching the light bulb go on. Come on, teachers. Don't you just love it? When you're working with a kid, moms, homeschool moms and dads, those of you that are involved in any kind of education, Sunday school teachers maybe you've been, or maybe you've been a trainer at work. You know, you train people on your job. Don't you just love it when people stare at you and they're like, oh. You know that, bling, the little light comes on. Isn't that a wonderful feeling? When you've actually passed something on to someone else? That which you know to be truth, and now they know it to be truth. That's exciting. You know what's exciting? Going to a door. Knocking on a door. Asking someone if they died today to know for sure they go to heaven. And they say, well, yeah, maybe. I think so. Well, may I ask how you know that? Well, I'm a good person. Well, can I tell you something? The Bible says there is none righteous. No, not one. Nobody's perfect. Are you perfect? No. Well, I'm not perfect either. You know what the Bible says? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, you go through that, you take the time and go through the gospel and tell them of their sin and of their accountability to God, and that there's a price for the sin, but for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you go on through there and you show them how they're lost and undone and they have a need of a Savior, and you get down to the end and say, would you like to trust Christ as your Savior today? Bling. Light goes on. What a joy to see someone come to Christ. We need to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. We need to be a good servant of God and exalting Christ See, this world is all about exalting itself, lifting up, climbing that corporate ladder. That's not what it is. The Bible tells us that if we want to be great in God's kingdom, we need to be the servant of all. We need to exalt Him and decrease ourselves. Hey, listen, let me take it one step further. If you're born again today, you're saved today, you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you, you want to be full of the Holy Spirit of God? Exalt Him, decrease yourself. That's how you do it. Get rid of you and let Him have the cup full. That's what we need to be. That's what John was. He was a good example of it. And as he answers these questions of the Pharisees, and listen, as you answer the questions of this world, well, what makes you so special? Nothing. Or if you want to give the truthful answer, Jesus. Jesus is what makes me so special. I have Jesus. Would you like to have Jesus too? You see, we need to make sure we are proclaiming Jesus Christ. We are exalting Jesus Christ. We are telling people about the light and the life of men. Because they do not comprehend it. And we need to see the light bulb go off in their heads as well. Take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. You see, John had an opportunity to claim greatness for himself. But he desired only to be known as the one crying in the wilderness. He exalted Christ in his life. And as Christ increased, John decreased. Are you there in Colossians? Look at chapter 1. Look at verse 15. Verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Does He have the preeminence in your life, in your words, in your thoughts, in your deeds? You see, the Pharisees were grilling John about who he was and what authority he had, and they were trying to see what was going on, and all he wanted to do was show them Jesus Christ. You know what? It doesn't matter how good you are, what people think of you, what opinion they have of you. They need to see Jesus in you. They need to see, as they were called Christians first in Antioch, little Christs. And know, as we mentioned the other day in our Sunday school class, that these people of the council noticed that these were Galileans, and that they had been with Jesus. That's what they need to see. That's what, that He has preeminence in our life. We need to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." You know, in Scripture, in Matthew 10:32, it says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." In Luke 12:8, it says, "Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God." In Romans 10:9, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." In Philippians chapter 2, it tells us, "And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." In 1 John chapter 2, "Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledgeth the Son, hath the Father also." In 1 John 4, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. You see, those of us that are born again should be like Jeremiah the prophet and said, hey, it's within me so much that I cannot even stay from telling. I've got to tell somebody. John was bold in his proclamation. No, I'm not him. No, I'm not him either. Not the Christ. Not Elias. No, I'm not that other prophet. Then who are you? Just a voice. I'm just a voice. Hey, listen, folks. That's what you and I are. We're just a voice. What do voices do? They sound out, don't they? One of the things that we do at our house, we have a bedtime, right? Can you imagine what it's like trying to get 12 kids to go to bed? All at the same time. It's like herding cats. I don't have cats, but it's like herding cats. Not hurting them, herding them. Okay. Yeah. Shoot. And you put them to bed, right? And you shut the lights off. And they go to sleep, like all kids do. I love that look, Mrs. Foote. That's fantastic. Yes, that was an extreme sarcastic comment. Absolutely. No, they don't. You know what they do? No, they start talking. And then daddy has to come, turn on the light. Hey, I told you to go to sleep. You say, who do you have to fuss at the most? The 2-year-old. But, everything's kind of shut down. And it'll be about 5-10 minutes later, you know what I hear? I hear voices again. No, I'm not loony. Oh, that pastor, he's hearing voices again. No. You know what voices are meant to do? They're meant to be heard. So, you know, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah. No, I'm not Elias. I'm not Isaiah. I'm not that other prophet. I'm just a voice. And John spoke up so he could be heard. And listen, boy, was he heard. He drew the attention of a lot of people. Good and bad. Hey, what attention are you drawing with your voice? You say, I don't want to draw any attention. Why? Didn't we just read that we should confess him before men? And that if we don't, we're not doing what we're supposed to do. Hey, listen, I am all for drawing a crowd of people that want to hear about Jesus. Right? Everybody okay with that? Man, they get filled with the Holy Ghost and they go out there and 3,000 people got saved. Let me just this is not in scripture. Let me just put a bug in your mind here, or your ear, whatever you want to call it. Can I safely suppose that there were more than 3,000 people there that day hearing Peter's message? Do you think he bat 1,000? You think 100% of the people that heard his message got saved that day? I don't think so. But it could be possible. It doesn't tell us, does it? But chances are that wasn't the case. Hey, listen, when they went and healed that man there at the temple, and it says that 5,000 men believed. Do you suppose that that's all there was? There at the temple gathered that day? I don't think so. But you know what John did? Did John draw people that wanted to hear the truth? And were some of them baptized? And were some of them saved? Did they trust Christ and follow Christ? Oh yes, they did. Hey, remember a guy named Andrew? He was there. You know what he did? He ran and told his brother, Simon Peter, hey, we found the Messiah. Was he talking about John the Baptist? No. Who was doing the speaking? John. But who is he speaking about? Jesus. He found the Messiah. Jesus Christ. Brought his brother to Jesus. But you know what? He also drew the attention of the enemy. I just want you to think about this. Is your voice being heard by the enemy? You say, what? Why do we want our voice being heard by the enemy? If your voice is loud enough, like it's supposed to be, those that want to hear and those that don't want to hear will hear. But if it's not loud enough, like it's supposed to be, you may not find any opposition. He said, should we be looking for opposition? Yes. People always ask me, hey, Brother Combs, how you doing? Are you staying out of trouble? No. No, I'm not staying out of trouble. You know what staying out of trouble is? Dead. I can stay out of trouble when I'm dead. Now, listen, I do not want to be in trouble with anybody as far as the law goes or, you know, on that basis. But I want to give the devil all the trouble he can handle. And listen, John wasn't impolite to these Pharisees. He answered them truthfully and very frankly. And you know what? His stand for right and truth and the gospel ended up getting them killed. And that's okay. But his voice was heard, was it not? Oh, yeah. It was heard. Has your voice been heard? Are you speaking so quietly that very few can hear you? Or are you the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord? You know, times have not changed that much from then to now. For even today, if one will stand and proclaim Christ, not only will the blessings of God be on your life, but the cursings of men will be on you as well. Hey, go pick you out a street corner somewhere. Right, Sebastian? Start preaching. See what kind of responses you get. Some positive, right? Some negative, too. Just a voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. You know, there were many that came to the understanding of the truth of Jesus Christ. And when they did, they made it known unto all about them. Remember what Peter said? Jesus asked him, who do men say that I am? And who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Did Peter take that afterwards, after Christ had ascended, and go out in Acts chapter 2 and preach Christ? In Acts chapter 4, preach Christ. In Acts chapter 5, preach Christ. Yes, he did. You know, Nathanael, later on here in John chapter 1, Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. The woman of Samaria, she went back to her city after having a direct encounter with the Son of God. She went back into town and say, come see a man which told me all things ever that I did. Is not this the Christ? The voice of one crying in the wilderness. You know, Martha, she had a relationship with the Lord. Her and Mary and her brother. There in John 11, when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. John said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. God himself, as Jesus was baptized, spoke and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Folks, I just want to emphasize today that we need to be that voice. We need to be that witness. Through the faith and life and light that is within us, who have received Jesus Christ as our Savior, we must be that voice. We must preach the gospel to every creature. We must be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We must. Do you want to be great in God's kingdom? Be the voice. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. Go back to John 1 and we'll close. We started in verse 15. And it simply says, John bear witness of him, and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You know, we need to go out and we need to make sure that we share with others what we have experienced. Are you born again today? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If not, today can be the day of salvation for you. And if so, be the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Is this not a wilderness? I mean, go out these doors and look around, okay? You say, oh, I see trees and I see grass and I see crops and I see all kinds of life and vibrance. Yeah, but look into the hearts and souls of man and you'll see the dearth, the parched ground, the cracks in the soil, the dryness, the darkness, the need for salvation. And proclaim Jesus Christ in the wilderness.